Like, I could stay there for a month and never get bored.
And it has this, like, that spiritual aspect, almost this sort of mystical aspect to it, maybe. Is that part of the draw?
Yeah, exactly. Like, every time I go there, I have that conversation with myself of, like, oh, maybe I should just, you know, pack it all in and just live in the wilderness.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we're wrapping up a three-part epic trilogy on springtime desert camping in Joshua Tree National Park, Death Valley National Park, and Valley of Fire State Park. And all three of these episodes were with the amazing Lauren Eber from A Fam with a Van. Initially, she had put this together as one episode, and the second I opened up the notes, I said, no, this is a three-part trilogy on springtime desert camping, and I just can't wait to bring you episode three on Valley of Fire State Park. But before we dive in and welcome Lauren Eber back to the show to talk about Valley of Fire and give us all the campground recommendations, recommendations for great activities, recommendations for places to eat, and a little brief detour into talking about Vegas and Hoover Dam, before we cover all of that amazing content, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing. GoRVing's website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to decide which RV is right for you. Head over to GoRVing.com and click on the Explore RVs tab to learn more about the typical features and amenities and frequently asked questions about towable RVs like travel trailers and fifth wheels, and motorized RVs like camper vans or Class A or C motorhomes. You will even find information on park model RVs, horse trailers, and ice fish houses. The Explore RVs tab at GoRVing.com breaks down model details for each type of RV, including the size range, average costs, and how many people can sleep in each of those RVs. You can also explore the Compare RV Models feature to see the difference between each model type side by side. The Frequently Asked Questions section utilizes a series of user-friendly icons to quickly show you what features and amenities, like residential kitchens and entertainment centers, are typically available in each type of RV. GoRVing.com's Explore RVs tab is packed with all of the information you need to learn more about RVing. To find out more about the different types of RVs or to find a dealer or a campground near you, head on over to GoRVing.com. Hello, Lauren Eber, and welcome back to the show. Are you ready for part three of this epic trilogy on spring desert camping?
I am.
And no pressure. I always think part three should be the best of any trilogy. So I feel like this needs to be the best of the three. Can we do it?
We'll do it. Let's do it. I'm excited to talk about Valley of Fire State Park.
And is it a fair competition? Because it's Valley of Fire is up against two national parks. Like, I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is fair for a couple reasons. One is because just the location of this park makes it such a great and convenient destination. It's easy to get to. It's, for me, when I figured out how great it was, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting that this is here. I'm going to come back over and over again. And it's small and compact. It's maybe not as grand scale as Death Valley and Joshua Tree, which we talked about in the first couple episodes, but it's this small, very manageable little gem. So I'm excited about it.
Great. So give us more of that overview of where it is and how to get there.
Yeah. So Valley of Fire State Park, it's in Nevada. It's a Nevada state park. And the amazing thing about it is that it's like barely an hour drive from Las Vegas, which also, by the way, is if you're driving from Las Vegas and your like true destination is going into Utah to hit Zion and the other Utah Big Five Park, it's only 2 hours from Zion. So it's a very, very easy stop if you're en route to any other Western national parks, or if you're just looking for a trip that you can easily take from Las Vegas. So for us in California, coming from California, basically anywhere we want to go, if we want to go to Wyoming or Montana or Utah or Arizona or anywhere, we kind of have to drive through Vegas. And so this has now become our go-to first night stop.
Is it sort of underrated for those reasons, like because of its proximity to some more famous places?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sometimes gets passed over, but I don't want to give the impression that it's like undiscovered. It's people know about it and it's very popular and crowded. So, I mean, not on the scale of like Yosemite crowded, but it's not like people haven't figured it out that it's there and that it's great.
Okay. Anything else about in terms of an overview before we get into, and we're following our same format here where you're going to give us all kinds of great campground recommendations for activities, but anything else in the broad overview of Valley of Fire State Park?
Yeah. Just again, in terms of the time of year that you want to go, again, spring is the perfect time. Fall is the perfect time. You can go in winter also. Summer, it's too hot. So if you're there in summer, I would either skip it or be very aware of what you're getting yourself into, because summer temperatures are regularly over 100 degrees. So this is a shoulder season kind of a park. The thing that's incredible here are these amazing deep red sandstone rock formations. There are also petroglyphs, petrified trees. The landscape is, I would say it's more dramatic than I was expecting. I was thinking that it would be sort of like, you know, a light version of some of those, you know, cool desert formations that you see in other parks, but I was blown away. I thought it was really beautiful.
So very Instagrammable, great place for photographers, for anybody who wants to go and sort of catch an epic trip on the camera as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And with being, you know, so close to Las Vegas, it's just so easy to get to.
All right. So let's talk campground options, and let's start with the state park campgrounds inside of the park. Give us all of the info.
Okay. Yeah. So the camping options in the park are pretty simple. There are two official campgrounds. One is called Otolotl Rock and the other is Arch Rock. Otolotl is the main campground, sort of the bigger one. It has flush toilets and showers. Fortunately, it has little shade structures at every campsite, which is nice to help with the heat and the sun. It has fire pits, flat tent pads, and it even has about 20 sites with water and electric hookups. And there's a dump station, a few pull-throughs, and it can fit RVs up to 35 feet.
And is this hard to get reservations? Can you even get reservations?
So that's the catch. Both of the campgrounds in the park are only first come, first serve. And they do fill up quickly, especially on weekends in fall and spring. They're both beautifully situated. Arch Rock, the second one, is smaller. It has pit toilets and no showers, so the amenities aren't quite as nice as Otolotl, but it's still a nice campground, beautiful surroundings, although that one's more geared toward tent camping. But yeah, they are first come, first serve. So that kind of leads me into the next camping option, which is that this area really is known for dispersed camping and boondocking. So the great thing is that if you're going and it's a crowded time and those campgrounds are full or you don't want to stay in them, this is a great spot to dispersed camp, whether you're an experienced dispersed camper, or I also think it's a really good, easy, accessible first time spot. If you want to, you've always sort of thought about dispersed camping, but maybe you've been a little intimidated, this is a great first spot to try.
Well, let's dig into that. That interests me. Like, why would this be a good first time to try boondocking?
So I think partly because it's just not that far out. So if all else fails and you go and it's, you can't figure it out, or you have something that comes up, you're just a couple, you know, a few miles from the little town of Overton off of Highway 15 and only an hour from Vegas. So, you know, that like worst come to worst, you'll be able to find someplace to stay. you're close to services. It's, you know, you're not, there are some boondocking spots. Like, you know, last year, spring break, we went to Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, drove, you know, more than an hour down a dirt road in the middle of nowhere to a truly remote spot. That's probably not the kind of spot that you want to try your first ever time boondocking.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's great. So what are, now what are some of the places where you can boondock? There's some different choices, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And just, you know, for folks who aren't familiar with the lingo, you know, dispersed camping or boondocking means that you are camping on public lands, where camping is allowed, but there are zero facilities or services. So you're just sort of driving out onto public land where camping is allowed and stopping and setting up camp with whatever you are bringing with you. That said, you do want to look for spots that are previously disturbed. You can sort of, you can tell. It's obvious when you get out there. There are spots that people have been using as campsites. Oftentimes they have little rock fire rings that people have made. So that's just sort of the concept. That's what we're talking about. So our first choice spot out here is an area called either Snowbird Mesa or Poverty Flats. People kind of use those names interchangeably. And this is a very popular boondocking destination. It's another reason why I think it's a good first spot, because you can have some solitude, but there are also enough people around that if you did get in trouble or you needed something, there are other people around and you could find someone to help you. But so, yeah, this is a common place. And I think there are a lot of people who actually go and stay for a while. People who are full timers. This is a common destination on their route. It's off of Highway 169, which you catch from Highway 15 near the town of Overton. And you can either access it from the park. You can go through Valley of Fire and then you come out the eastern entrance and turn left onto Highway 69, or you can come at it the other way, like past Valley of Fire on Highway 15 and turn south onto 169.
Now you do, there are, I guess when you're talking about boondocking on public land, there are rules though, in terms of, can you have a campfire? How long can you stay? I mean, you need to dig in and figure those things out before you go, right?
Yes. And every place has its own rules. So if you know that you're going to go to, you know, BLM land, Bureau of Land Management land someplace, or Forest Service land someplace, you're going to want to either look online ahead of time or call the ranger station for the area you're going to go and make sure you know what the rules are. A lot of places will allow fire, but you have to have a fire permit. So, and usually you can get them online. You watch a little video. So make sure that you are doing your research for what's required in the area that you want to go and follow all those rules, especially rules around fire. Make sure you're packing in your water and make sure you're packing out all of your trash, and also all, you know, dealing properly with all of your bathrooming needs. So if you have an RV or, you know, you're bringing your own toilet with you, then you just keep it all contained and dump at a dump station. If you don't, then make sure that you're staying, you know, more than 100 feet away from any water source and burying. You can bury your waste, but pack out your toilet paper.
Now, Lauren, you just did all of that from the top of your head. Like, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you that. So I,
oh, yeah,
clearly, well, but you know, like, I'm impressed, right? Like, clearly you are an experienced boondocker who lives in the American West, and you've been doing quite a lot of this lately, right?
Yes, yes. We really love it, especially if you travel with a dog. It's amazing because you can go out and find places where you're far enough away from anybody else that you can give your dog a little bit more freedom than you can in a campground.
Great. So any other areas worth checking out?
Yeah. So a second option, and by the way, just to find Snowbird Mesa or Poverty Flats, you can Google it. I think the easiest way to get there is to just Google it, and then it's pinpointed pretty closely on the map. So I would just try to have your navigator send you there. That's probably the easiest way. But it just as a reference point, if you're coming from Valley of Fire, it's going to be about 3.4 4 miles to the north on Highway 169, and you'll see kind of a network of dirt roads that branches off to the left and right. The more popular ones are sort of to the right, to the east, and you just sort of drive over and pick a spot. If you're coming from Highway 15, it's about 10.2 miles to the south. So that's kind of where you're headed.
Now, when you do this, you made a great point, and I've read this before and experienced this before, where you're not camping on a campsite per se, but you are actually supposed to use spots that have been used before, so you're not trampling the land. When you've gone here, do you always find one of those spots, or are you ever kind of navigating a new spot that doesn't exactly look like it's been used before? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I always try to stay on spots that have been previously used. That's kind of the dispersed camping ethic. You're not supposed to be damaging new areas. So try to respect that. In this area, there are plenty of spaces, so it really shouldn't be a problem. There is this huge network of dirt roads. The one thing I will say is that you need daylight. So this isn't the kind of thing where you can roll in after dark and easily find a spot, especially here, because there are some sort of steep drop-offs. It's part of what makes it nice to look at, but you don't want to be driving around these roads with no lights after dark, if you've never been there before, especially. So I would recommend getting there with plenty of daylight. Scout out your spot, and you can either, stay there, or you can leave some stuff and kind of claim your spot and then return to it later. If you're, just make sure you really know where you're going back to. Drop a pin.
Fantastic. So you're going to have some private campground options, but is there anything else there in terms of different areas to check out for boondocking?
Yes. So there's another option. If you are heading toward Valley of Fire from Las Vegas, you're coming from Highway 15. The first turn that you would take to get to Valley of Fire State Park is the Valley of Fire Highway. So if you turn on that road, then there's actually some dispersed camping available before you hit the park. And those spaces look really nice too. It's maybe a little mellower, or there aren't as many campers, not as many sites. The landscapes maybe not quite as dramatic right there, but that's a great option as well, and it's a little flatter too. So if some of the drop-offs and things in the other area aren't your speed, you can check out that option. Okay. And then there's also a little bit farther away. There's a dispersed camping area in Lake Mead National Recreation Area. And there are like a few miles of dirt road with space for dispersed camping kind of near the lake. So that's an option also. You're just going to want to make sure that any of those roads that you go down, that the ground is really hard and that you're not getting yourself into sand.
Oh my gosh, we could do a whole like boondocking for beginners episode with you at some point too, but we will stay focused here.
Okay.
So some private, I know this isn't where you would probably go when you're camping here, but if you want to see Valley of Fire State Park and you want full hookups, do we have some options there as well?
Yes, there are. You're going to have to drive a little bit farther, but that's no problem, especially if Valley of Fire is one stop in part of a sort of a bigger exploration you're doing of this area. But there's Echo Bay RV Park and Campground on the Overton arm of Lake Mead, only about 20 minutes away. So that's a great option if you want to be at a traditional RV park with full hookups. And then a little farther away, maybe more like an hour, there is the Lake Mead RV Village at Boulder Beach. And that's near Hoover Dam. So you could stay there. You could explore the Hoover Dam. You could go to Vegas. You can go to Valley of Fire and do kind of all of the things that there are to do in that area.
Oh my gosh, so many great options. It sounds like it truly is a boondocking situation, though, in your mind anyway, right? I mean, that's what you go here for.
Yeah, in my mind, that's the thing to do. It's really fun. Now, the scenery out in the Poverty Flats, Snowbird Mesa area, it's not as dramatic as the scenery actually within the boundaries of the park. But there's something that's just so cool about being out there with all of this open space as far as the eye can see, and having that true sort of freedom, I'm out camping totally on my own kind of experience.
All right, fantastic. We're going to come back in a second, and Lauren is going to give us some great recommendations for activities. You don't want to miss this next part of our interview. But before we do so, we have sponsored messages from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts and RV SnapPad. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a luxury cabin, a deluxe RV site, or prefer to try some unique options like yurts, treehouses, or covered wagons, award-winning Jellystone Parks has a variety of first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities to provide the setting for an affordable and fun family vacation. Our family has been making great camping memories at Jellystone Park for years, and we can't wait to get back and see Yogi Bear and friends this spring and summer. Jellystone Park locations have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories, from amazing water zones including pools, splash grounds, and splash pads to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows. Jellystone Park is the best place for family entertainment this year. You will also find many themed weekend events, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends. You will notice that family fun at our exciting camp resorts is the main attraction. With over 75 locations across the United States and Canada, make Jellystone Park part of your vacation this spring and summer. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's Jellystone Park. To find out more and book your spring and summer getaways, head on over to jellystonepark.com. Meet the world's only permanent jack pad. RV snap pads attach permanently to your RV leveling jack so you don't have to carry around blocks of wood or plastic blocks to level your towable or motorized RV. Simply snap them on one at a time and you are all set. RV snap pads go on in seconds and provide a lifetime of stability on the road. They are built for wanderers, adventurers, and vacationers just like you. We added RV snap pads to our travel trailer 2 years ago and love their durability, design, and functionality. They also make setting up and breaking down camp faster and easier. Head over to rvsnappad.com and use their Submit Your Rig tab to answer a few quick questions, and they will find you the perfect set of snap pads for your towable or motorized RV. You can purchase RV snap pads directly from their website or use their Where to Buy tab to find a dealer near you. Join the RV snap pad revolution today. To find out more, visit rvsnappad.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with Lauren Eber from A Fam with a Van, and we are talking about Valley of Fire State Park, and this is part three of an epic trilogy on spring desert camping. We just reviewed a bunch of camping options, both boondocking, state parks, and traditional campgrounds with full hookups. Now we're going to talk about all of the cool activities and fun things to do. So Lauren, get us started. What do we want to do first when we're visiting Valley of Fire State Park?
Yeah, so Valley of Fire is all about these cool red rock formations, the petroglyphs, the petrified trees. So really, you want to get out there. You're going to have to sort of drive around. There's no park shuttle. So this is one of those places where you're going to want to have some kind of a vehicle that you can use to make your way around the main roads that run through the park. It's oriented more or less like a T with Valley of Fire Highway running east-west for about 7 miles. And then White Domes Road intersects about halfway through and heads north from the visitor center. And the main attractions are all located along one of these two routes, both of which you can easily drive in half a day with time to get out and see some of the major sites. But with more time, I would think, you know, you'd want at least a full day, 2 days is even better. You can really add in some of the, you know, really do each of these wonderful hikes and take your time exploring the rock formations, seeing the petroglyphs and all of that.
And you always like to stop at the visitor center, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the first thing that you're going to do when you get there, as with anywhere, is you want to go to the visitor center. It's a small visitor center. There's a small gift shop and some very basic drinks and snacks, but there's no restaurant. It's not like a full general store, so don't expect that. But the main thing that you need to get is the park map, which will really help you to get oriented. We'll also provide a link to it because it's helpful to kind of see so you can get oriented to what's what before you go.
Yeah, and check out the rvatlas.com. I'll put that in the show notes, and we'll have some pictures from Lauren as well in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what next? Go ahead.
Yeah. So these are just some of our favorite sites and things that we did when we were there. But really all of the sites that are listed on the park map are worth visiting. So first is Mouse's Tank, which is just an easy little 0.75 mile out and back trail that's lined with petroglyphs. It's particularly great for kids, but the petroglyphs are definitely a fun part of the park, and petroglyphs aren't always so accessible, so this is nice. And then the other really impressive petroglyphs in the park are at Otolotl Rock, which is like a big giant rock monolith. But it's got a lot of stairs to get up to it. If you aren't bothered by the steep stairs, just take them up and you get to these really cool petroglyphs at the top.
And is there parking like right below that sort of, and then you just sort of like hop out of the van and climb up?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And then another cool little thing is that there are these cabins that were built in 1935 by the Civilian Conservation Corps that are still standing. They're these old little stone cabins, and they're a lot of fun to walk through, especially for the kids. Our kids loved going in and out of them.
They're so beautiful. So, like anywhere I've seen these CCC era cabins, they are always so charming and still and usually in good shape. And we did a whole episode with Casita Dean May on the CCC and connected it to some of the history of the campgrounds that they built. So I'll also link to that in the show notes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun to see them. So we're on to the rock formations. This is what we're all really here for. So you're going to want to do at least some of these little walks and hikes where you park at the little trailhead and then you get out and actually get to experience these rock formations. So one really great one is Fire Canyon Silica Dome Overlook. It's a beautiful overlook featuring some really impressive rock formations. You get there by turning onto Fire Canyon Road and just take it until it ends. And that one actually is just an overlook. You don't even really have to hike. But of course, I love to recommend some easy accessible hikes. These are all pretty short and totally worth doing. If you only do one, I recommend the 1.1 mile White Domes Loop, which goes through this really cool slot canyon and then past an old movie set that randomly happens to be there. So that's a really, really great hike. Our kids loved kind of scaling some of the big rock formations that we passed on the way.
Now, this sounds like an amazing place for family-friendly hiking. I mean, you've got all kinds of recommendations here that are all within range, even with young kids, as long as it's not too hot, right?
Yes. Totally. Yeah, it's great. But by saying that they're family friendly, I also don't want to suggest that they're not equally interesting for adults. But yes, I mean, this, we found the whole destination to be super exciting for our kids and very accessible.
I mean, like in Glacier, there are some amazing things to see, but you have got to hike for hours to get to them, or, at least the 4 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles. So it sounds like you could pack in a lot with the little junior rangers if you want to.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why this is such a great stop. Even if you just have, you need a spot for one night or two nights on your way somewhere else, or you're just looking for a way to, break up a Vegas trip with a little outdoors. You can go stay a night or two and pack in a few of these really great short hikes and really feel like you saw something special.
All right. So any other specific hikes to recommend, or do we want to move on to Lake Mead and Hoover Dam?
Yeah, no, there are a couple others that I really want to mention. There is the 1.8 mile Firewave Seven Wonders Loop. This is another that I would really highly recommend. It goes to this beautiful kind of striated wave-shaped rock formation. So that's very cool to see. And then there's also the 1 mile Rainbow Vista Trail, which is also going to take you past a lot of the really cool rock formations.
Right, so if you just have a day, right? You know, and you're just going to do one of these. Is there one that's the absolute can't miss? I think you mentioned one is sort of like the don't miss this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be based on your personal preference of what you like. I think it's either going to be the White Domes Loop or the Firewave Seven Wonders Loop, and then just pick based on what sounds cooler to you, a slot canyon and this old movie set, or do you really like the idea of the striated kind of striped rock and the wave-shaped formation?
Oh my gosh, how do we choose between those two? I'll go with the slot canyon and the movie set, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I'll do both in one day. Okay. So
what exactly. They're short. I mean, you can even if in just a half a day or at least in a full day, you could work in both of those. You could do one in the morning, have lunch, and then one in the afternoon.
This is reminding me a lot of Badlands National Park in the sense that there's just like all of these really cool, really short hikes. And if you were ambitious, you could do a lot of them in a day, you know, or like you said, you know, 2 days, you can kind of cover the place if you want to. So let's move on. What do we have for Lake Mead and Hoover Dam?
Yeah. So if you're looking to do more activities in the area outside of Valley of Fire itself, you're right in this area with Lake Mead and Hoover Dam. So from the east exit of the park, the park road runs, you can enter the park either from the west side or the east side of Valley of Fire Highway. So if you're going out the east exit and you continue to Highway 169 and you turn right, you're like less than 10 minutes away from the Overton Beach Marina on Lake Mead. So if that's your thing, you can go do that, or you can continue on that road for just over an hour and get to Hoover Dam. So if that's something that you've always wanted to see, you can go check that out.
And Vegas is not far.
Yeah. And then of course there's Vegas. And so, you know, it's Vegas. Go nuts.
But yeah, you know, Stephanie and I have talked about, because we were going to, you know, when before COVID happened, we had planned this whole trip of, you know, like flying into Vegas and doing a lot of these things. And it was a big conversation like, well, how long do we spend in Vegas with our three boys? And, you know, on one side, we were like, let's just get the hell out of there and, you know, get out of Vegas and go see all the beautiful things around it. But then I've been to Vegas a few times and I was like, oh my God, there's some cool things for kids to do in Vegas as well, if you plan it correctly. So,
yes, that's right. My personal view on Vegas is that you can't stay more than three nights, but two is better, but and you know, it can be a lot of fun, but I think better to see everything in Vegas with multiple trips as opposed to staying too long in one spot. That's my personal.
It can get overwhelming, and walking around downtown Las Vegas at night with small children might not be advisable, depending on, you know, how you feel personally about seeing crazy things. But there's such great food there too. My God, like I want to take the boys there for epic milkshakes and cheeseburgers and all kinds of stuff like that. So on the topic of food,
I love it. I'm not knocking it, but I think it's one of those things where that's sort of like the rule, right? You have to get out of Vegas after 3 days, or you know, they'll get stuck in the void.
The great thing is it's up to you, right? Whoever's listening, hightail it out of there, you know, if you want to hightail it out of Vegas, hightail it out of Vegas. If it's not your thing, if it's your thing, stay and do your thing, just like you said. So how about food options though, more back around the area we've been talking about?
Yeah, so there, like I said, there's no dining inside the park, and definitely if you're boondocking, there are zero facilities, so you are totally on your own. So you're going to want to bring your own food if that's the route that you're going. But there are some facilities in the nearby gateway town of Overton, which is only about 15 minutes away from the park. And there's actually one really cool new option to the Overton scene that got there actually since we last were there. So I haven't been yet, but I'm excited to try it the next time we're there. It is a restaurant owned by Chris Angel of the show Mind Freak, called CABLP, Chris Angel Breakfast, Lunch, and Pizza is what that stands for. And that's what it is. It's breakfast, lunch, and pizza.
Sounds so good to me.
Yeah, exactly. If you go at like dinner time, it's pizza. And it doesn't stay open very late, but it is an option. So that's a good choice for you in Overton. And then another favorite in Overton is a Mexican spot called La Fonda. And there's also a great little ice cream and sandwich shop called Inside Scoop. So those are a few fun options in nearby Overton if you are tired of cooking your own meals.
All right, Lauren, this was such an epic three-part series on spring desert camping, and I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to do it to you anyway. If you were able to take the next week off and just pack up the van and go to either Joshua Tree National Park, Death Valley National Park, or Valley of Fire State Park, but you had to pick one, which one would you, and this, I want a personal answer here. I'm not asking you which one is best. I'm asking you, yeah, which one would you go to if all of a sudden you had a week off and you could take the van to one of them?
Joshua Tree.
I knew that was going to be the answer, but why?
Yeah. So, it's just, there is so much to do there. There are so many different things to do there. And it's the kind of place where you can really just sort of settle in and hang and enjoy yourself for a week. And that's not to say that you couldn't do that also in Death Valley or Valley of Fire. Although I feel like Death Valley and Valley of Fire are more about, there are like specific things that you want to see and they're really cool. But Joshua Tree just has this extra special kind of, I could stay there for a month and never get bored.
And it's like that spiritual aspect, almost this sort of mystical aspect to it, maybe. Is that part of the draw?
Yeah, exactly. Like every time I go there, I have that conversation with myself of like, oh, maybe I should just, you know, pack it all in and just live in the wilderness.
And do you actually crank U2 Where the Streets Have No Name on your way into Joshua Tree? Are you not a U2 fan?
Of course. Yeah. Our usual soundtrack while we're driving is the Grateful Dead satellite radio channel. But we do have to mix in some U2 as we're on our way to Joshua Tree.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much. These three episodes are just a total gift for our audience. We really appreciate your time and working it into our schedules to record all three of these at different times. And hopefully we will see you soon at the campground. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thank you to our sponsors, to Neighbor, the Thetford Corporation, Campspot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, RV Snaphead, and Go RVing. To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, head on over to thervatlas.com. And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook. If you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes. And we'll see you at the campground.